There is nothing wrong with your radio. Do not attempt to change the station. We are controlling the transmission. We control the volume. We can change the tone to a fuzzy bass or focus it to a tinny treble.
We can speed things up so fast you can hardly understand what's being said.
Or we can make things so slow you don't care.
We control the content. We can make it boring.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive.
Mystery Playhouse.
Or moronic.
90.1.
We can even make it repetitive. It's our show. We can do anything we want, because this is...
Mystery Playhouse, 90.1.
Good evening, and welcome once again to the Mystery Playhouse. I am the Count, your host, Hara. Yes, come in, come in. Don't be shy to die, huh? Yes, after all, it made me the youthful man I am today. Just think how old I'd be if I hadn't been dead all these years, huh? Sorry, upstairs, I didn't mean... But besides, you no longer have to work for, how do you say, a living, huh? Unfortunately, however, you must then risk being called a deadbeat, huh? Yes. But when you're dead, you get used to being put down, really. 6 feet down, huh? Oh, yes. But you'll have a great time, though, really, really. It's very exciting, except perhaps for the boring worms, huh? You know, some people diet when they're alive, while others, like me, we die and get at, huh? But I always say, live every day like it's your last. Especially if you're no longer living, huh? But enough of the, how do you say, grave humor, huh? Yes. No, really, I say, you must respect the living, huh? So I'll do you a favor and spare you any more of the deadpan jokes, huh? Oh, dumb boy, eh? But on to the night's scary, exciting plot, huh? Yes, we will hear from Humphrey Bogart in The Treasure of the Sahara Moor. But first, it's the Shadow So Scary!
Shadow, Lamont Cranston, a man of wealth, a student of science, and a master of other people's minds, devotes his life to righting wrongs, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. Cranston is known to the underworld as the Shadow. Never seen, only heard. His true identity is known only to his constant friend and aide, Margot Lane. Today's story, Murder on Approval.
Dr. Calanza, I have read your statement.
Yes?
Frankly, I am interested.
I thought you would be, General. Otherwise, I never would have traveled so many thousand miles to see you.
You say that you can infect a large number of persons with a deadly disease at will.
Yes.
That you can cause more deaths in an army than all the guns in the world.
Your Excellency, once let loose, this disease would totally destroy an enemy's morale. With its aid, you can easily overcome any nation in the world.
The general is already ruler of the East.
But he will not stop with his conquest. I am sure His Excellency is planning to extend his powers even further. I can give him victory.
What is this sickness you can't spread, Doctor?
I am sorry. That I cannot divulge at this time.
Nor the method of infecting the enemy, Doctor.
Nor that, Your Excellency. And only I know the cure.
Dr. Calanza, your name is not unknown to us. You have been many things. scientist, adventurer, spy. But you've not always been successful,
no. General. May I suggest that you let me try an experiment on troops of your own choosing?
Troops? I cannot sacrifice my men. If your disease is fatal...
Not on your own soldiers, sir. But why not those of some other power?
That is an idea.
Soldiers of some country you would be glad to humiliate and hurt. Perhaps even invade.
But we are not at war at the present time, Doctor.
Does that matter? General, pick any spot in the world, any well-guarded garrison. And in 2 months, I shall have wiped out that garrison. Choose the spot for my experiment. But perhaps it would be better to choose some country you are interested in, yes?
I see. All right. We will select your guinea pig. Captain, the map.
Yes, sir. Here's the map.
Calanza. Do you know this spot on the coast of the United States?
No. But that does not matter.
It is one of their army bases.
A splendid choice, General. It is well guarded, Doctor.
All the better to prove my point. I will leave for America at once. In a short time, many American soldiers will die in their barracks. Then, if you wish me to destroy the whole army of the United States, I can do it for you.
Good. Captain, you will make the arrangements with the good doctor, please. To purchase his little methods for murder on approval.
Enjoying yourself, Miss Lane?
Much, Colonel
Tarrant.
I like the army.
So I've noticed, Margot. I think you'll dance with every officer at the base.
Oh, why not, Lamar? The poor boys are due back inside the post at midnight.
Awfully glad you could come tonight, Miss Lane. I don't get away from the base often myself. You'd be surprised at the trouble a couple of thousand men can manage to get into.
Oh, trouble, Colonel?
Yes, if it isn't one thing, it's another. Yesterday, what should crop up but some newfangled disease?
Oh, a new disease?
Nothing serious, I hope. Is it catching?
Well, nobody seems to know much about it. Fortunately, there are only a couple of cases. Dr. Harris isolated the sick men immediately, so the rest of us should be safe enough.
Have I met Dr. Harris, Colonel?
I think so. He's around someplace with a foreign doctor. Yes, the stocky, red-faced officer coming this way.
Oh, yes, please.
Harris promised to introduce his guest. Evening, Dr. Harris.
Good evening, sir.
Miss Lane, Dr. Nicholas Harris.
How do you do?
We met at dinner, Doctor.
Oh, yes, Mr. Benson. Colonel, may I present my friend, Dr. Gregor Calanza.
You're welcome, Dr. Calanza.
Thank you kindly.
What, Lamont, shall we dance?
I'd love it, Margot. Will you excuse us, gentlemen?
Certainly. Well, how are those boys in the hospital, Doctor?
Well, they seemed a little better when I left, sir.
Good. Get him to tell you about that, Dr. Calanza. A couple of soldiers have caught some strange disease.
Really?
Yes, seems so. They're pretty sick, too. Oh, sorry, my wife is looking for me. I'll see you later.
Yes, sir.
That's quite amusing.
What?
You are to tell me about this strange new disease.
Not so loud.
Oh, nonsense. There's nothing to fear. No one knows anything about us, Harris. Unless you have done some talking.
Is it likely I'd go around telling people that I was betraying my country?
You are being well paid.
I know that...
Nothing can happen, Harris. The disease is unknown. It strikes very quickly. And it is fatal within a week.
Well, I'd no idea when we started that I was handling such powerful germs.
That's why I insisted on shooting antitoxin into you. Without it, we would both get the disease.
Oh, I wish it were over.
Oh, don't worry. In a few days, it will be. And you'll be a rich man, Harris.
Yes. Rich. After all these years in the army.
You broke the little glass bottles as I instructed?
Yes, I dropped one of them in the barracks tonight just before I came away.
There are enough germs in those bottles to kill a regiment. You will have some new cases shortly.
Be careful. Here comes one of the lieutenants.
The doctor! Doctor, have you seen Colonel Tarrant?
Why, yes, he's right over there.
Oh, yes. You better come along, sir. You'll be needed. There's trouble at the base.
Trouble?
Yes, hurry, sir.
It seems that our plan is going smoothly, Harris.
Be quiet, will you? Come on over to Colonel Tarrant.
Get me inside the base.
All right.
Now keep quiet.
Colonel Carr.
Yes?
From the base, sir. Urgent.
Yes, Lieutenant. Let's have it.
Here, sir.
Let me see. Hey. Good Lord.
What is it, sir?
A whole barracks has come down with that confounded disease, Harris. 200 men.
They're pretty bad, sir.
It's an epidemic, sir.
Yes, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
General order. All officers must report back to post immediately. Emergency.
Yes, sir. The base is already under quarantine, sir.
Good. Announce the recall from the bandstand.
Right away, sir.
Colonel, perhaps Dr. Calanza could give us a hand. We're going to need every doctor we can get.
I would be delighted, Colonel.
Well, very kind of you.
No excitement, Colonel.
Cranston, you'll have to drive us back at once. The base is hit by an epidemic.
An epidemic?
Yes. Will you have room for Dr. Harris and Dr. Calanza?
General order! All officers are to report back to post for duty immediately!
Dr. Harris.
Yes?
I say, have you any idea what this mysterious disease might be?
Well, unfortunately, no. That's why I brought Dr. Calanza along.
From the symptoms described, it is something entirely new in medical science.
We've got to save those men and check the disease.
I'll do my best, sir.
This thing has spread very rapidly, Doctor. It might almost be some new form of Oriental plague.
Oriental plague? Here? In the United States? Oh, nonsense.
Well, Doctor, I've seen disease spread like wildfire in the Far East. No, I'd like to take a look at this, Colonel.
Well, I'm afraid that's impossible, Mr. Cranston.
Well, why, Harris?
The post has been quarantined by general order, sir. We can't ignore that order.
But Calanza's going in.
Yes. I am a doctor, Mr. Cranston.
And besides, Mr. Cranston, you might catch the disease.
Well, I don't mind taking that chance.
Well, that's very brave of you, sir, but I'm afraid we can't allow it. The order is definite quarantine against civilians.
Yes, I'm afraid the doctor's right, Lamont. In the army, orders are orders.
Very well. Just as you say, sir.
So it is. It's just around the bend, Miss Lane.
Pull up alongside the gate.
You are right here, Miss Lane.
All right. Here we are.
Halt. Who goes there?
Colonel Torrance.
Advance to be recognized, Colonel Torrance.
Well, thanks for the lift, Lamont.
Don't mention it.
Come on, Dr. Calanza, hurry.
I am ready.
Good night, Miss Lane.
Good night, gentlemen.
I still wish you'd let me go in and take a look around.
Well, I'm afraid that's out of the question entirely, Mr. Cranston. Come on, Calanza.
Coming?
It's nice of you to offer, my boy. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Colonel. Well, I suppose we might as well drive back to the hotel.
Just a moment, Margot. I'm getting out here.
Getting out here? But Lamont...
I'm going to take a look at this disease, Margot. You know, there was a queer look on Calanza's face when I mentioned it might have an Oriental origin.
Yes, but the sentries won't let you in, Lamont. The place is quarantined.
I'll have a very hard time quarantining a shadow.
Lamont, you mean you're going in there as the shadow?
Yes, Margot. When the car door slams, I shall immediately become the shadow.
Who's there? Say. Now, wait a minute, miss.
Oh, well, you want something, soldier?
Why, I just heard the car door slam. Did somebody get out?
Well, you don't see anybody, do you?
No. No, ma'am, but I thought I saw... Well, I guess it's all right. That's kind of funny. Hey, Joe!
Yeah?
I could have sworn I saw somebody get out of that car. Anybody go through the gate?
Hey, there's enough floodlights here to light up the entire army. I didn't see a soul.
I don't know. I thought I saw a man, and then just like that, there wasn't anybody there.
You must be getting punchy.
Glass.
He
just lie still.
He's waiting to get
hurt. He was all right a minute ago, Dr. Cranston.
What ahead? It burns.
That's the fever. It comes in waves. Moments, he's quite rational.
Who's there?
who broke the glass. I heard a glass break, yes. I tell you.
Get Dr. Harris. Maybe he can get that fever down. I can.
Right away, Dr. Gray.
I've got to go look after another patient. Shut the door after us, nurse.
I'm on fire. Water. Water, please. Glass. Hear it? Broken glass.
Steve. Steve, can you hear me? Listen to me.
Who is it? Oh. Someone there?
You must tell me something, Steve. It's important.
Where are you? I can't see.
Don't worry. Even if you can't see me.
There's only a voice.
I'm here, Steve, here in the shadows. Listen to me.
Yes?
Listen. Quickly, before the fever returns. Tell me, why do you keep repeating the words? Broken glass.
Broken glass.
Yes. Keep saying it over and over. Why?
I don't know.
Think, Steve. Think, what is there about broken glass? Glass. Think, son.
Glass, broken glass. Oh, I know.
Yes?
That's last night in the barracks when all the fellows were asleep.
Yes,
I woke up. I thought I heard something. Like glass breaking.
In the room, Steve?
Yes. Yes, just a little tinkle. Like someone had dropped a tiny glass. And then a few hours later, we were all sick. I... Oh, my head. Who broke glass?
All right. Shut me down, Doctor.
Nurse tells me this one is quite bad. One of the new ones. Great Scott.
What is it? What's the matter?
Oh, my head.
Why, this boy, he's my nephew.
Your nephew?
Yes, my sister's son, Steve. Steve. Steve, how do you feel, boy?
This is unfortunate, Harris.
Why, I thought he was home on leave. He wasn't due back this week. Uh-huh. Is he fatally ill, Colenza?
Too bad, Harris. I give him 2 days at most.
Oh, no, he can't die.
I am sorry, but it is unavoidable.
Uncle Nick, help me.
Colenza, you've got to do something for him.
Nothing can be done.
Steve, it's Uncle Nick, Steve. I'm here.
Uncle Nick. Oh, help. Please. Glad.
The boy is delirious.
We must save him.
Impossible. There is no cure.
But Steve is my nephew. Steve.
Be quiet, you fool. Come. Let us go to your office.
No. I must stay here.
Come up. I have to drag you. Now brace up, Harris. Don't lose your nerve. Come on, man.
Broken glass. Oh, Uncle Nick. Someone. Broken glass.
Yes, Steve. Someone broke glass. And I mean to learn just what your Uncle Nick had to do with it. He and Gregor Colenza.
Colenza, you've got to do something for Steve.
What can I do? I told you the disease was fatal.
But I don't care about the others. Steve's different. He's my sister's son.
Oh, you said. I am sorry.
Colenza, tell me. Isn't there some sort of serum?
No.
But you gave me antitoxin.
It was to prevent your catching the fever. It is different. Your nephew is already infected. There is no hope now.
There's got to be.
Harris, pull yourself together. You are being well paid.
I know, but money won't give Steve back to my sister.
I told you I was sorry. But there is nothing to be done. Nothing. I am going back to the wards. The progress of the disease is very interesting.
Oh, don't be so callous.
I am a scientist, Harris. Now, get hold of yourself, man. Remember, a soldier died this morning. It is murder now.
Murder?
Yes. And death is the penalty for that. So you'd better keep quiet about it. I will see you later.
Oh, Colenza!
Later.
Oh, Steve. Steve.
Weeping won't help Steve, Dr. Harris.
Huh? Who spoke? Who's there?
The shadow. Your nephew is dying, Dr. Harris.
Who are you? Where are you?
I am here, although you cannot see me, Dr. Harris.
What do you want with me?
You and Gregor Colenza are responsible for this disease.
No, you're wrong. I don't know anything about it.
You cannot lie to the shadow, Doctor.
I tell you, I know nothing.
Then your nephew dies, Doctor. Died horribly.
Oh, stop it. Will you stop it?
The voice of the shadow is never silent when there is evil.
I won't talk to you. I won't talk to you. I'm getting out of here.
You cannot escape from the shadow.
Leave me alone.
We shall meet again, Dr. Harris. And then...
Here's the test tube you wanted, Dr. Harris.
All right, put it down, man. Put it down.
Yes, sir.
Now, leave me alone. I've got to find the serum that will counteract the effect of this fever.
Yes, sir. Good luck, sir.
Let's see, where's that culture? Oh, yes. Now, if this formula will only work...
All right, Dr. Harris. Steve is dying.
You
dropped your test tube, Doctor. Just the way you dropped one in the barracks. And spread the germs.
You know that. But I didn't.
Tell the truth, Doctor. Think of Steve.
Oh, you fiend. Will you leave me alone? I must find a serum that will cure him.
Only Gregor Calanza can give you that in time. Who is he? Where's he from?
I don't know anything about him.
Is Calanza more to you than your nephew? Speak, man. Calanza got you into this, didn't he? And now Steve is dying, Harris.
Stop it.
Dying.
Stop it, I tell you, I can't stand it. Let me out of here. Safe in my room. Now, wait, I must lock the door. Locked. And bolted. Now we can't get in. That voice. Coming from nowhere. Always in my ears. Oh, I'm going crazy. Where's my bag? I've got to get away.
And leave Steve dead behind you, Doctor?
How did you get in here?
I'm with you all the time, Doctor.
Oh, please. Go away. Please leave me in peace.
There is no peace, Doctor, for a man who will let his nephew die in agony.
Oh, I'd save him if I could. Believe me, but I don't know how.
Calanza knows.
But he says there's no cure.
You believe him? He had an antitoxin, didn't he? Perhaps he has a serum that will cure the disease once it is developed.
But he told me...
He got you into this crime, didn't he?
Yes. Yes, he promised me wealth. I've always been poor.
Why did he pick this army base for his crime?
Because if he's successful, it means the entire army will be wiped out in this way.
United States Army?
Yes. This disease would wipe out whole armies. Then invasion would be a simple matter. But you can't isolate the germ. There's no cure.
There must be a cure. Calanza would have one.
But he says there is none.
There must be. Make him tell you what it is. Otherwise, your nephew dies.
But I can't help him. Or this country, either.
Steve is dying, and you're afraid to cross the one man who might cure him. What is Calanza compared to your sister's son? He got you into this. Make him help you.
All right. All right, yes. Yes, I will.
But hurry. He's out there now, watching the soldiers die. Watching Steve and the other men he's poisoned. And enjoying it, Harris. Enjoying it.
I'll get him to my office and make him give me that serum. That's it. I'll make him.
Hurry, Doctor. Hurry. This way, Colonel Torrance.
Tell me, who are you?
I am known as the Shadow Colonel. Please do not waste more time in wondering that you cannot see me. I told you I could clear up the mystery of this epidemic. I'll keep my promise, sir. Just step in here, please.
All right. Wait a minute. This is Dr. Harris' office.
Yes. You'll know the whole story in a few moments, Colonel. Get behind the screen, please. Don't move until I give the word. Here they come.
Come in here, Calanza.
Harris, have you lost your mind?
Maybe.
Dragging me out of the wards like that. You must be mad.
You'd be crazy, too. If that thing followed you around all day.
That thing? What are you talking about?
A voice, Calanza. A voice. Something that you can't see. But you can hear him, all right. He keeps talking.
Oh, Harris, snap out of it.
I tell you, I heard him. He knows all about you and me and the disease.
Who knows all this?
The voice. He knows everything.
Ah, you're dreaming. Seeing your nephew sick has upset you.
Yes. We made my nephew, Stephen, get the disease, Calanza.
Well, he is not the only one.
But he's got to be cured.
No, don't start that again. There isn't any cure.
You're lying.
Harris, don't be a fool. I can't afford
then,
to.
Then, there is a serum that will cure the disease.
Well, what if there is? I am not wasting it on your precious nephew.
Oh, yes, you are.
Harris, put down that gun.
You listen to me, Calanza. Either you give me the formula for that serum or I'll kill you. I mean it.
Formula is worth a fortune, Harris.
It will make us both rich.
If you will only use your head.
Never mind the talk. And don't try reaching for your gun either. I'm watching you.
But
the formula for the serum, quick.
All right.
Where is it?
In my pocket. It never leaves my wallet.
Give it to me.
Oh, just a minute. Here. Take it.
Thanks. Now I can save Steve.
If you know enough medicine to read that formula.
I must read it. I must read it. Yes. Yes, it's plain enough. I can make this serum. Look. It says you take
it. This is your city. Alex, you fool. Did you think I really meant to have you get my serum? Die like the others. Now, I will take back my formula.
No, I'll take that paper, Calanza.
What? Who snatched that paper?
I did, Dr. Calanza.
Hey, voice. Harris was right.
Dr. Harris was quite right.
Give me back my formula. I'll shoot.
What will you shoot at, Doctor?
You've had enough shooting, Calanza. Drop your hand.
Senator Torrance.
Drop that gun. Never. Take it, then.
Calanza's dead, Colonel.
Ever a man deserve to be shot? It's that murderer.
Yes. Yes. Take the formula to the laboratory. Get the serum made up and hurry.
Well, what about you, Shadow?
My work is finished, Colonel. First is up to your medical staff. Calanza and Harris dreamed of power and wealth to be acquired through mass murder. Such dreams are dearly bought. The price of Calanza's dream and Harris's traitorship. Death. The hidden menace to the armed strength of our country has been uncovered and destroyed.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Kids, that was scary, wasn't it, huh? The Shadow! I mean, I've heard of Cold Wars, but that's ridiculous, huh? I mean, out of all the Shadows I've ever seen, that one was certainly nothing to sneeze at, huh? But perhaps it's not that runny. I mean, not that funny, huh?
Maybe it was. Who knows?
You know, I kept waiting for the Shadow to run. You know, the Shadow's nose, huh? But he was lucky not to get sick himself. Or that terrible disease would have ravaged the entire country. Then it would no longer be known as the U.S., but the Vire U.S., huh?
Really?
But of course, that would be to my taste. No, in fact, that's my favorite dish. How do you say, Petri dish, huh? But perhaps you don't care for it, huh? But take my word for it. It grows on you, huh?
Yes.
If that happened, it would be a perfect time to use the expression, there's a fungus among us, huh? Well, I won't bug you anymore with any of my sick jokes, huh? Because we need to catch our next feature. So, ladies and germs, it's Humphrey Bogart in The Treasure of Sierra Madre. So scary!
First time I come up with them was in Tampico, at the seaport town. Tampico, northeast Mexico. I was having a beer near the docks when they came in. Hot Sunday afternoon.
Are you a fellow American?
Yeah, that's right, mister. What do you want?
I want to know about a guy named McCormick. You ever hear of him?
McCormick? McCormick. Oh, yeah, in the oil business. That's right, oil.
Have you seen him lately? Where can we find him?
Well, you gentlemen, I'd run clear. McCormick hires a crew to work in the oil field, see, then he never pays him off. Slick. Slick like oil.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't mean to tell me he's hooked two smart fellow Americans like you.
That's right, Pop. 6 weeks in the oil fields, 120 in the shade. Only I ain't through with Mr. McCormick. Fred C. Dobbs is going to get his wages, see?
Come on, Dobbs, let's have a beer.
Oh, I could hear him talking at the bar, drifters, both of them. Not what you call good friends, either. Just a couple of guys that happened to wind up in Tampico. Yeah, just like me. Only difference is they're young. Yeah, I see them again that night. They came wandering in the flop house. 50 centavos for a bed. Me? I'm sitting up talking to a couple of sailors. The subject of the conversation is gold.
Hey, Pop, you mean there's gold here in Mexico?
Not 10 days from this very spot. Whole mountain of gold's waiting for the right guy to come along, discover a treasure, and then tickle her until she lets him have it. Question is, are you the right guy? Tell me something. Why is gold worth some 20 bucks an ounce?
I don't know, Pop. Because it's scarce, I guess.
1,000 men say go searching for gold. After 6 months, one of them's lucky. 1 out of 1,000. You know, his find represents not only his own labor, but that of 999 others to boot. That's 6,000 months or 500 years, scrabbling over mountains, going hungry and thirsty. An ounce of gold, mister, is worth what it is because of the human labor that went in to find the getting of it.
Yeah, never thought of it just like that.
Well, there's no other explanation, mister. You start out, you tell yourself you'll be satisfied with 25,000 handsome smackers worth of it. So help my lord and cross my heart. Fine resolution. After much of sweating yourself dizzy and growing short on provisions and finding nothing, you finally come down to 15,000, then 10. Finally you say, Lord, let me just find $5,000 worth and never ask for anything more the rest of my life.
$5,000 is still a lot of dough.
Yeah, here in this joint seems like a lot, but I tell you, if it was to make a real strike, you couldn't be dragged away. Not even the threat of miserable death could keep you from trying to add 10,000 more. You get 10, you want 25. 25, you want to get 50. 50, 100. Like roulette. One more turn, you know, always one more.
I wouldn't be that way with me.
Oh, hello, mister. You didn't find McCormick, huh?
I'll find him. But about gold, I swear it wouldn't be that way with me. I'd take only what I set out to get, even if there was still $500,000 lying around, just waiting to be picked up.
I have dug for gold all over the world. I know what gold does to a man.
You talk as if you once struck it rich. How about it, Pop?
Yeah, what are you doing in here? A down and outer.
That's the gold, mister. That's what it makes of us. Never knew a prospector yet that died rich. Sure, I'm an odd old bone now, but say, don't you guys think the spirit's gone? I'm all set to shoulder a pick and shovel any time anybody's willing to share expenses.
I bet you are.
I'd rather go by myself. Going it alone is the best way. You've got to have a stomach for loneliness. On the other hand, going with a partner or two is dangerous. Murder's always lurking about. Partners accusing each other of all sorts of meanness.
So why should finding gold make a man any different? If he's the right kind of a man to start with, gold ain't going to change him.
You ever tried running her down, mister? Ever tried prospecting?
No, I ain't.
You didn't have the answer to that. Yeah, I knew that answer.
You know it all, Pop. Well, I think I'll go to sleep and dream about piles of gold growing bigger and bigger.
A week later, I see him again, Dobbs and Curtin, all lumps and bloodied up. Looking for me, they were, something to tell me. They take me to a cantina and put a bottle of beer under my nose.
And we found McCormick, Pop.
Yeah, and the looks of you found a peck of trouble, too.
Well, we got our wages, every last penny.
Yeah, we've been thinking. Why not try digging gold for a change? Well, it ain't any riskier than waiting around here for a break. And this is a country where the nuggets of gold are just crying for you to take them out of the ground and make them shine on coins. Now, the fingers and necks are swell dames. Well, that's what you said the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, what's so funny? Living out in the open is cheaper than living in town. Our money would last longer.
Yeah, sure it would, sure. Only you have to have equipment. Ever think of that? How much that all cost?
Well, we figured we'd ask you. We ain't denying anything. When you come right down to it, we don't know much about prospecting. Of course, if you wasn't so old...
Maybe I'd go with you, huh? Is that what's on your mind? You want to take me along?
Would you go?
Would I? Say, what a question. Of course I'll go. Any time, any day, out for gold. Always at your service. Well, I got 200 American bucks ready cash. Last money I got in the world. How much dough you guys got to put in?
150 bucks. Curtin here has the same.
Total 500 ain't hardly enough to buy the tools, weapons, and essential provisions.
What do we need guns for?
Well, for one thing, meat. For another thing, bandits. Bandit country's where we'd be gone. We ought to have 600 bucks between us.
Well, that much, huh?
Can't dig up anymore, huh?
Not a red cent.
Senor Dobbs, I look all over for you. Give me my money, senor. Give me my money.
Get away from me, will you?
Senor, you don't comprehend.
You comprehend a glass full of beer right in your kisser if you don't leave me alone. I tell you, I don't want any lottery tickets. Now beat it.
Lottery tickets? Well, that's for gambling men.
But always whoever wins the lucky number gives the seller a present of 10%.
Hey, wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Dobbs. He's trying to tell you he sold you the winning ticket.
Here, look. The least of all the winning numbers. You buy ticket for 5 centavos, remember? 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah, I remember. What about it?
He'll win, senor. A 200-peso prize.
Oh, give me that paper, oh. Just look at that fat, rich printed number.
You got the ticket?
Sure, I got the ticket. Oh, 200 pesos. Welcome, sweet little smackaroos. Here, son, here's a present for you with my blessing.
Go to the lottery office, senor. Get the money.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations yourself. You stand a profit out of this the same as I do.
How do you figure that?
Well, did he just say we needed 600 bucks? Well, that's what we got now, ain't it?
Yes, sir. Just like that. Stroke of fate. Fortunate circumstance.
But how come you're putting up for me?
Because this is an all-or-nothing proposition. We make a find, we'll be lighting cigars with $100 bills. If we don't, the difference between what you put up and what I put up ain't enough to keep me from being right back where I was this afternoon, polishing the park bench with the seat of my pants. Put her there, pardon.
Thanks, Dobbs.
Well, gentlemen, now here's what we do. We'll take a train to Perla. That's a little town at the foot of the Sierra Madre Mountains. And there, when we're there, we'll buy our burrs and get away from the railroad. No use looking for gold anywhere near a railroad. You got to have, we've got to go where there's no trails at all. Just bandits.
Now, that sounds okay to me. Okay, partner?
Sure.
Yeah. We got to go where no surveyor, anybody who knows anything about prospecting, has ever been there before. Well, drink up, gentlemen. Drink up. We'll buy a map and some railroad tickets. Bought about half our gear there in Tampico and then took the train for Perla. About 50 miles from Perla out in the desert was a big boulder on the tracks. Bandits trying to raid the train.
Hey, they're retreating. Look, they're retreating. Look, they're riding off.
Hey, save your bullets, Mr. Dobbs. They're too far off now.
I got 3 of them. Credit me with 3. How many did you get?
Couple, I guess.
Bandits. Guess they were expected. That's how come so many Federal soldiers riding on this train.
That bandit that rode right up to the train. The one with the gold hat.
Yeah, I had my sights on him nice as you please. But the train gave a jolt and I missed him. I sure wish I could have got him.
Well, you boys cooled off enough to look at this map?
Huh? Oh, sure.
Yeah, it ain't much of a map. Don't properly show whether it's mountain or desert. That shows the makers of the map themselves don't know for sure. That's good. What are you doing, Dobbs?
Why, reloading. Can't tell if them bandits may come back.
Yeah, that's right. Well, wake me up when the shooting starts.
Ah, con una media luna arriba. Eso lo mismo. Una con una media luna arriba, my friend.
Hey, Pop. What's he saying, the storekeeper?
He's proven he's got a right to sell us these burrs. They all got the same brand, see? Letter A. Elsewise, some native or Indian might meet up with us and claim our burrs.
I reload your supplies on the burro, senor.
Oh, thanks, son. Thanks, yeah.
My father is much worried for you, senor.
Worried? What's he worried for?
Yeah, we paid him, didn't we?
Well, he says we're going into very wild country, jungles, and then high mountains, and tigers so big and strong, they can climb a tree with a burr in their mouth.
Tigers? Here?
Yeah, more like leopards, I guess. Well, I'm glad to hear such tall tales, gentlemen. That means mighty few outsiders ever set foot there.
Yeah, well, let's get going, then. Come on, kid, shake it up. We're in a hurry. Get them burrs loaded. Curtain. Take it easy. Now, this mountain climbing ain't like a walk around the block.
I'm dead. Let's sit a while.
Yeah. If there is gold in these mountains, how long would it have been here? Millions and millions of years, wouldn't it? And then what's our hurry? A couple of days, more or less, ain't going to matter.
Look at the old man. Way ahead of us there.
Yeah.
You and me scared we'd have to pack him on our backs.
Yeah. That was when I took him for an ordinary human being. He's part goat. Let him climb, will you?
If I'd have known what prospecting meant, I'd have stayed in Tampico and waited for another job to turn up.
Curtin, look. Look.
What's the matter?
These rocks. Look, these little veins running through the rocks. Look at them glitter, yellow, too, like gold.
Gold? We've been sitting on a gold mine.
Get the water bag. Wash some of that dirt off. Hey, Howard, come back. We found something.
Yeah, we found something. Here's the water.
The vein all over the rock. We struck it, Curtin. Look over there. in all the rocks, just like he said, a bonanza.
Howard, look! Look at these rocks.
Oh, they're full of gold, veins of gold.
Yeah, that's what you wanted to show me?
Yeah, I saw when I passed by. Gentlemen, this stuff wouldn't pay you dinner for a carload.
It ain't gold?
Pyrite, fool's gold. Oh, not there ain't plenty of the real stuff hereabouts. Walked over it 4 or 5 times already.
You mean we've been passing it up? Why?
Not enough of it. Not enough to pay us a good day's wages. Well, you figure to set it out here all day?
Come on, Kurt, let's go.
Next time you fellas strike it rich, holler for me before it starts splashing water around. Water's precious. Sometimes it'll be more precious than gold. Get, you burro. Get, burro. That was a fine country, inspiring. Didn't see a soul, just the beast of the jungle and birds, all bright, gay colors. Felt good, 10 years younger. Better man than either of them. Wore him down to just plain gristle. Come out, well, they just lay on the ground, puffing and groaning, too dogged out to set up and eat their beans.
I can't move. I just want to lie here.
Yeah.
Hey, ain't you guys going to eat some beans? You want some beans? Going through some mighty rough country tomorrow. You better have some beans.
Oh, shut up, Pop. Go on, eat them up. Let us alone.
How's your feet feel, Dobbsy? Bet you jump up like a jackrabbit was a pretty woman to stroll by. Bet your feet wouldn't bother you, not men.
That wind. Blowing up awful cold.
Getting cold, is it? Getting cold. Feels like a norther.
Yeah.
When they blow hard, they set that desert country up down there on its hind legs. We're lucky to be up here, all right.
Lucky.
Reckon there's only a couple of more days of this heavy stuff. Pretty soon we'll be leveling off. Pretty soon now.
Howard. Howard, come here. A couple of more days, you said. That was 3 nights ago.
We've had enough, Howard. Dobbs and me, we want to give up.
Give up, huh?
Yeah. Leave the whole outfit right here. Go back to civilization.
Well, tell my whole grandmother. Go back to civilization. I got 2 very fine, elegant bedfellows who kick at the first drop of rain and hide the closet when thunder rumbles. My, my, my. What great prospect.
I'll lay off us, Howard.
Yeah, 2 shoe clerks is what you are. 2 shoe clerks reading the magazine about prospecting for the land, going to the land of the midnight sun. South the border, west of the Rockies.
Shut your trap. Shut up or I'll smash your head flat.
Go ahead. Pick up that rock and throw it. Go ahead. If you did, you'd never leave this wilderness alive. Without me, you 2 would die here more miserable than rats.
Leave him alone, Dobbs. Can't you see the old man's nuts?
Nuts! Nuts, am I? Let me tell you something, my 2 fine bedfellows. You're so dumb, there's nothing to compare you with. You're dumber than the dumbest jackass. Look at you. Look at you. Did you ever see anything like yourselves for being dumb specimens? You're so dumb, you don't even see the riches you're treading on with your own feet. Look at me. I'm doing a dance on a mountain of gold.
What are you talking about? This is it? There's gold here?
What'd you expect to see? Nuggets of molten gold? Sure, it's here. Rich. Rich, too, but not rich enough for me. Yeah, and here ain't the place to dig. It comes from someplace further up. Up there. See? That's where we've got to go. Up there. Only I'm going alone, because my 2 courageous companions have agreed between themselves to desert and go back. Well, go on. Get.
I'll take 1 more day of it. What do you say, Kurt?
1 more day won't kill us.
Change your minds, huh? Thank you, my 2 fine friends. You move me to tears with your faith and trust in me. 1 more day, huh? Then you can follow my trail, because I'm going to be camping there tonight.
This is it, Howard? This stuff right here?
Yeah, this is it, all right.
Gold. Sure don't look like I thought it would.
It's just sand. That's just sand.
Yeah, it's just like plain sand. It don't glitter. I thought it would glitter.
Oh, it'll glitter when it's refined. But that's another guy's job. Yeah, you got to know how to recognize it. And that ain't all. Not to find it, not by a long shot. You got to know how to tickle her so she'll come out. Yeah, it's mighty rich, this sand. It'll pay good.
How good?
Oh, about 20 ounces a ton.
At some $20 an ounce.
How many tons can we handle
depends
in a week?
Depends on how hard we work. Well, we better pitch our camp down the mountain a bit.
Why do that when the gold is here?
In case anybody happens by, bandits or soldiers chasing bandits or Indians. Or a pretty woman out for a stroll. In that case, we'll tell them we're hunters. And maybe we'll get away with it, maybe.
Hunters? Wouldn't it be easier just to file a claim?
Easier, maybe, but not so profitable. Wouldn't be no time till an emissary from one of those big mining companies would be right up here with a paper in his hand, showing us we had no right to be here. Well, how does it feel, you fellers, to be men of property?
I'm sorry about the fuss we kicked up, Pop. Guess we was pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we made it, and we're here. Men of property, what do you know?
Yeah, everything's going to be all right from now on, huh? Everything's going to be fine.
Sure it is. Why not?
Why not? Why not? Well, we'll find out, won't we, Dotsie? Yeah, we'll find out.
Our stars will return in a moment with Act Two of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre.
Say, John, do you know what color stockings are the greatest headache to photograph?
Oh, skin tones?
No, mm-mm, black.
Well?
The wardrobe people at Warner Brothers were telling me that the black opera-length nylons Joan Crawford wears in Flamingo Road had to be washed ever so carefully. You see, the camera picks up the slightest imperfections.
They looked wonderful, I remember. So I strongly suspect Lux Flakes.
Naturally. Hollywood studios depend on these tiny diamonds. They're so fast and so rich, they freshen nylon safely in no time.
Hollywood's way is the same care millions of girls give their nylons.
Well, smart girls realize that it's foolish to risk strong soap or cake soap rubbing. These things make stockings go into runs in short order. Strain tests prove it. Prove that stockings washed with Lux Flakes last twice as long.
And what a help that is when you give stockings hard wear.
Well, Joan's nylon's got a good workout in Flamingo Road.
That deliberately corny dance she does is magnificent.
Sidney Greenstreet will tell you that she packs quite a haymaker, too. He took it on the chin in one of their violent scenes together.
And Zachary Scott, as the weakling Joan really loves, makes a wonderful contrast.
Joan does a very convincing job, too, as a carnival girl who fights her way up the social ladder. But you know, I was thinking afterwards that no matter how much money she had, she couldn't find a better, safer care for her costliest nylons than Lux Flakes. And they're within the reach of every girl.
That's true. It's no wonder over 90% of the makers of stockings recommend Lux Flakes. Here's our producer, William Keeley.
Act Two of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart as Dobbs and Walter Houston as Howard.
Oh, for a month we didn't mine a grain of ore. There were things to do first, setting up camp, corral for the burrs, and a sluiceway out the creek to wash out the gold. Finally, the time come when we weighed our first take of the treasure.
How much, Howard? How much you figure we got?
Oh, about $5,000 worth, I reckon.
That's not bad when we... When do we start dividing it up?
Why divide it now? When the time comes, we're all going back together.
I'm for dividing as we go along. Make each guy responsible for his own goods.
Well, I just soon have it that way. I haven't liked the responsibility of guarding your treasure any too well.
Who asked you to, Pop?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you never asked me. Only I thought I was the most trustworthy of the three.
You? How come?
I said trustworthy. As far as being honest, well, no one can say.
I don't get it.
All right, suppose you were charged with taking care of the goods. One day I am deep in the brush and Curtin's on his way to the village to get provisions. That'd be your big chance to pack up and leave us in the cold.
Only a guy that's a thief at heart would think me likely to pull a stunt like that.
Well, right now it wouldn't be worth your while, but, when the pile has grown, yes, sir.
Think of such things you will.
Yeah? How about yourself?
Oh, me? Well, I'm not quick on the feet any longer. You fellas are a lot tougher than when we started out. Yeah, you'd have me strung up in no time. That's why I think I'm the most trustworthy.
Well, looking at it that way, I guess you're right. But let's do like Dobbs says, divide the proceeds every night.
Well, by me, gentlemen. And each one of us will have to hide his share of the treasure from the other two, huh?
Well, why not?
Having done so, he'll have to be forever on the watch to see that his hiding place is not discovered.
And what a dirty, filthy mind you got.
Oh, no. Not dirty, baby. Only I know what kind of ideas even supposedly decent people get when gold's at stake. All right, Curtin, hand me them weighing scales. Here she goes, boys, three ways.
Venison stew. Sure tastes good, Pop. Where's Dobbs?
He ate before.
Alone?
Yeah.
Tell me something, Pop. What are you going to do with all your hard-earned money?
Oh, I reckon I'll settle down some quiet place, get me a little business, hardware, grocery store, spend the better part of my time reading comic strips and adventure stories. One thing's for sure, I'm not going prospecting again.
Well, what's all that about?
Oh, it's just John Dobbsy telling each other what we'll do when we get back.
Me? I got it all figured. First off, I'm going to get a brand new set of duds, a dozen of everything. And I'm going to a swell cafe. Order everything on the bill of fare, and if it ain't just right, and even if it is, I'm going to bawl out the manager and make him take it all back.
What's next on the program?
Well, what would be?
You know what? We ought to put up some kind of a limit on our take. Agree now that when we get so much, well, we'll just pull up stakes and beat it.
What kind of a limit?
Oh, say $25,000 worth for each man.
$25,000? Small potatoes. 50 anyway. 75 would be more like it. I'm young. I need dough and plenty of it.
No use making hogs of ourselves.
Hog, am I? Maybe you don't know it. I'd be within my rights if I demanded half again as much as you get.
How come?
Well, I put up the lion's share of the cash, didn't I?
Well, so you did, Dobbsy. I always meant to pay you back.
In any civilized place, the biggest investor gets the biggest return, don't he?
That's one thing in favor of the wilds.
Oh, not that I intended to demand it, but I'd be within my rights if I did. So next time you go calling me a hog, just remember what I could have done if I'd wanted to. It's funny, ain't it, Pop? Yeah, real funny. Catch me sleeping, huh? I'm not that dumb. Hey, them guys try to put anything over on me, it'll be a costly one for both of them. Any more lip out of them, and I'll let them have it. You know what's good for you? You don't monkey around with Fred C. Dobbs.
What'd you say, Dobbs?
Huh? Nothing.
You better look out. Bad sign when a guy starts talking to him.
Yeah? Well, who else am I going to talk to? Certainly not to you or Curtin. And don't get the idea you two are putting anything over on me. I know what your game is.
Well, you know more than I do.
So why am I elected to go to the village tomorrow? Why me instead of you or Curtin? Time I'd be gone, give you plenty of chance to discover where I hid my goods, wouldn't it?
You got any fear along those lines? Why don't you take your goods with you?
Well, and run the risk of having them taken from me by bandits?
They'd kill you anyway, Dobbsy. Just for the sport of it.
Ah, so that's it. You're hoping bandits will get me. That'd save you two a lot of trouble, wouldn't it?
All right, Dobbs. Forget about it.
Well, I ain't going to the village, see? You can go back and tell that to Curtin.
Okay, partner. I'll tell him. So Curtin went down to the village for provisions. He was all stirred up coming back. There were soldiers in the village chasing bandits. That wasn't all. He met up with an American, a fellow named Cody.
And he kept pumping me, followed me into the store, wanted to know what I was doing here.
What'd you tell him?
I said I was a hunter, a professional hunter. Kept asking me, did I see anything up here that looked like gold?
Shook him off, Curtin? You got rid of him, huh?
I couldn't. He followed me.
You sure he trailed you?
Yeah, I'm sure.
What makes you so positive?
Because every time... Because if you turn around, you can see for yourself. There he is.
Hello.
All right, you. Walk over here to the fire.
I guess I'm not wanted, huh? I just couldn't resist the chance to sit around and jaw with an American.
Now, don't make any mistake, mister. We got no use for you. We're full up. No vacancies. Go back where you came from. Take our blessing with you.
Thanks.
Hungry, mister? Go on, help yourself.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We don't want a guy to starve to death. Tonight, you're our guest, see? But tomorrow morning, look out. No trespassing. Beware of the dogs. Get it? I got a few hides while you were gone, Curtin. 5 foxes and a tiger.
How are the skins?
Pretty good.
Excuse me for butting in. There's no wild game around here worth going after.
Yeah, you're right, mister. You're right. That's why I've made up my mind to clear out.
Yet it might be pretty good ground for something else.
I told you in the village there's no gold around here.
My boy, if it'd been one single ounce of it, I'd have smelled it, believe me.
Then you're not as smart as you appear to be.
Gold, huh? It gives me an idea. Guess I'll sleep on it, gentlemen.
Yeah, me too. See you in the morning, Cody.
Sorry, there's no room in our tent. If you want to, you can roll up here by the fire.
Oh, that's fine. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
I can't figure him out. Is he wise to us or not?
Now you guys go to sleep. I'll be watchdog for a couple of hours, and then you and Dobbs can take your turns.
You got a gun handy?
Yeah, right here.
Okay.
Didn't get much sleep last night. Did you, friend?
That's fact. We didn't.
Well, let's lay our cards on the table right now, huh? You found gold here. I know it. And because I know it, you'll have to do one of three things.
Now look who's telling us what we got to do.
One of three things. Kill me, run me off, or take me in as a partner.
Partner? Well, we...
Now, let's consider the first. If you start killing people, just how far are you prepared to go with it? Another guy may come along tomorrow.
Not much we'd stop at, mister, to protect our interests.
I only say that killing me isn't the answer. As for choice number two, you run me off, and I might very well inform on you. 25% of your gold is a reward I'd get.
It's a pretty strong argument in favor of killing you.
Yeah, I don't deny it. But take me in as a partner, and you don't lose anything. I'm not asking for a share of what you've made so far, only in the profits to come. Think it over. I'll be looking after my borrowed.
Well, Howard?
Yeah. Send him away is out of the question.
Fred C. Dobbs ain't a guy who likes being taken advantage of. We got no real choice at all. Bump him off.
What do we gain by killing him? I don't mind being taken some advantage of as long as there ain't no money out of my pocket.
And whoever else happens along, they're to be invited in too, come one, come all, huh?
You got a point there, Dobbsy. No question about that. But to kill a man.
What's the matter? Ain't you up to
it? Sure, I'm up to it. Let the majority decide. What do you say, Curtin? For or against?
Well, for or against?
For.
Okay. We'll make it short and sweet for him. Stand right where you are, Cody.
Guns, huh? Gonna shoot me, huh?
Yeah. You convinced us.
Before you start shooting, you better take a look down there in the valley. There's some men coming on horses.
Oh, so that's your stinking game. I knew you was an informer. I knew it all the time.
You're wrong, brother. This means all our funerals.
They're banners, gentlemen. About a dozen of them.
Someone at the village must have told them about the American hunter up here.
Well, we better start thinking of a way to defend ourselves. We could try hiding the rocks, but then we'd lose the birds and the whole outfit. No, the best thing for us to make a fight of it.
Is it you three against them or us four?
For now, I guess it's us four.
Yeah. We'll settle your case later.
If you're alive.
He's got something there, Dobbsy. That's right. If we're alive.
Ben has turned out to be Gold Hat and his boys. Same crowd that held the train on the way up to Perla. They spotted us, all right, and started pouring it on us. And all at once, they turned and took off. Didn't make sense. And when we saw why, far down the mountain, hot on their trail, was maybe 50 soldiers, federales. We just stood there watching them shoot it out, half a mile below us.
Look at them federales. Stick them tight, chew them up and swallow them. Oh, boy, am I happy. Ought to tell you the truth, I was already eating dirt.
Now, you better stay covered, Dobbsy. If them soldiers start spreading out, we may have company after all.
Yeah. Get down, Curtin.
Come here, you guys. Looks like the bandits settled our problem. Cody's dead.
What do you mean he's dead?
Take a look.
Bullet. Right through his neck.
I wonder who he was. Maybe we better go through his pockets. Maybe he's got folks somewhere.
Here's his wallet, Pop. James Cody, Dallas, Texas.
Yeah, and a picture. A girl, a little kid. Guess she's his wife, huh?
It's not bad. Well, I guess we better dig a hole for him. Funny how it's all worked out. We didn't have to shoot him after all.
Gentlemen, if you'd ask me, I'd say it's about time we considered leaving this mountain.
How much gold do you figure we got?
Upwards of $35,000 apiece, and I'll tell you what, we ought to be plenty thankful.
Well, let's call it quits, then. The sooner the better.
Take another week to put the mountain back in shape.
Do what to the mountain?
We've wounded this mountain. It's our duty to close her wounds. It's the least we can do for all the wealth she's given us. If you guys don't want to help me, then I'll do it alone.
You talk about a mountain like it was a real woman.
You've been a lot better to me than any woman I ever knew. Keep your shirt on, old-timer. Sure, I'll help you.
Six days later, we loaded the gold on the burrs in little canvas bags and started down. Late that afternoon, pushing through the brush, we walked straight into a bunch of Indians. I don't know where they come. Peaceful, all right, friendly. But they wanted help.
What do you mean, help? What kind of help?
They've been heading for Durango. Seems like a little boy in their village fell into the river. They fished him out, but he won't come to. He ain't dead, but they say he just won't come to.
Well, that's tough.
Well, they want me to go back to the village with them. Ain't far. Maybe I can do something.
Why?
Was I to refuse them? They'd make me go. I'll be back soon, before morning, probably.
And if you're not?
I'm leaving my burrs with you. Look after my goods till I get back.
It's okay, Pop. We'll wait for you here.
No use arguing. Sorry, gentlemen. I got to go back again to the village.
Yeah, but you just said you fixed the kid. You said he was cured.
Yeah. Fixing the kid was simple. Artificial respiration, a few Boy Scout tricks. But they say I got to visit them with... Well, I got to go with them. Their gods will be angry if they don't show their gratitude to me.
Tell them to forget it. They don't owe us a thing.
I tried. Just made them mad. Well, that's them over there waiting for me.
I'll handle this.
Savi hombre. No puerta quedar. No. No.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Don't you touch your gun. Don't touch your gun or we'll be scalped in half an hour.
El señor no importa. El doctor, si importa.
And what's he saying now?
Well, he says it makes no difference about you guys, but I've got to go back with him.
Oh. Oh, it's like that, huh?
Yeah.
They just want you.
Looks like it.
Well, go on then. We'll meet in Durango.
Well, what about my goods?
Take them with you.
If they found out, they might forget he was their honored guest and bump them off, huh, Pop?
Well, what'll I do? Dump them out here on the ground?
We'll take them with us if you want us to.
Well.
Any better ideas, Pop?
I reckon that's about the only solution.
I'll bet you remember this the next time you try to do a good deed.
Don't worry, Pop. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be lonesome without you, Pop. Look out for those Indian dames. One of them squaws might marry you.
Yeah. Maybe I'll do just that. Pick me out a good-looking squaw and marry her. They're easy to dress and feed and entertain. Well, so long, partners. See you in Durango. And so I left them and went back to the Indians. No choice. I had to go. And behind me, in the keeping of Curtin and Dobbs, was my share of the treasure. $35,000. I knew they'd have a time of it. Just as hard going down them mountains as it was going up.
I'm stopping here for tonight. You hear me, Curtin? I'm stopping here.
It's early. We can make 4 or 5 miles before dark.
Well, go on, then. Take his burros with you. Ain't my responsibility.
Since when?
Give us nothing but trouble for 2 days. Straying off trails, smashing their packs against the rocks. You know what he was doing when he turned them over to us. Mighty cute of him, wasn't it?
So you're staying here for the night, huh?
Yeah, you heard me.
Well, you can't go any further.
Now, who says I can't? They don't make me laugh. I go 4 times as far as a mug like you, but I don't want to. I could if I want to. I want to, but I don't want to. See, mug?
What's the use of hollering, Dobbsy? Okay, we'll cancel it.
How far do you suppose the railroad is from here?
Well, it's hard to say. We'll reach the high pass in 2 days more and get fresh water. After that, I don't know. What's a joke, Dobby?
I was just thinking what a bonehead play that old jackass made when he put all his goods in our keeping. Figured he'd let us do his sweating for him, did he? We'll show him.
Show him what?
Can't you see it's all ours now? We don't go back to Durango at all. Nowhere near Durango.
Steal his goods?
Where'd you ever grow up? Sure. Take his goods and go north. Leave the old jackass flat.
Now, look, you don't really mean that.
Fred C. Dobbs don't say nothing he don't mean.
As long as I can do anything about it, you won't take a single grain of the old man's goods.
So you want to take it all for yourself and cut me out?
Why, you're out of your head. I'm on the level with the old man, same as I'd be with you.
Oh, sure. For a long time, I've had my suspicions about you, and now I know I've been right.
What suspicions?
You bump me off. Bury me out here in the brush like a dog.
Oh, you're crazy, Dodge. You're out...
And you'd have not only the old man's good, but mine in the bargain. You'd have yourself a big laugh, wouldn't you? Thinking how dumb the old man and I were. Put your hands up, Curtin. Go on, put your hands up.
Dobbs.
Was I right or was I right? Go on, stand up, get on your feet and take it like a man. Trying to put one over on Fred C. Dobbs.
Pull a gun on me, huh? Pull a gun on me. Only now I got the gun and you listen to me.
Go on. Pull the trigger.
Oh, Dobbsy, look, you're all wrong. I never intended to rob you.
You really mean that? Then give me back my gun.
Look, wouldn't it be better the way things are to split up? I mean now, tonight.
Yeah. And that would suit you fine, wouldn't it? So you could fall on me but from behind. Shoot me in the back.
All right, then. I'll go first.
Yeah, wait for me on the trail. Ambush me.
If I meant to kill you, why wouldn't I do it here?
Because you're yellow. You're yellow. You haven't got the nerve to pull the trigger when I'm looking you straight in the eye.
You really believe that, don't you?
Jokes. Full of jokes.
Well, then we won't separate. We'll go on together. And every day you'll take the trail right ahead of me, and every night I'll tie you up.
I'll tell you what, Kurt. I'll make you a little bet. 3 times 35 is 105. I'll bet you $105,000 you go to sleep before I do. How long can you go without sleeping, Curtin? 2 days? 3? 4? Whatever it is, I can go longer, see? And the day you fall down on the trail, that's the day that Fred C. Dobbs wins his bet. $105,000. Just like I said, Curtin, you couldn't take it, could you? Fell asleep, didn't you? Who wins the bet? Ha ha! Who wins the bet?
The old man will catch up with you.
He will. Oh, he will, Willie. Well, I got an answer for that one, too. I'll tell him you tied me to a tree, that you stole all the good, yours, mine, and his. So he'll be looking for you, Curtin, not for me. And a fat chance he's got of finding you. So long, partner.
We pause now for station identification.
Ooh, is everybody scared? That's the bodies that are still alive, that is, huh? Look at me, I'm dead, eh? Hey, you know, when they see the treasure, the Sierra Madre, at first I thought it would be like gold in the treasure chest. Little did I suspect it would be lead in Curtin's chest, huh? You know, I guess you could even go so far as to say it's curtains for a curtain, huh? Yes. Oh, well, then, I guess it's just the way the mini ball bounces, huh? Or should I say ricochet? Rough, really rough. He should have been suspicious of his partner when they first hitched up, though, really. Everyone knows Bogart is a hot shot, huh? All right, that was stretching it, I agree. But you know what they say? A heavy purse makes a light heart. Especially when all the blood is gushing from it, huh? Well. Ready money may make ready medicine, but I always say shrouds have no pockets, huh? All that waste of good blood, you know, that's enough to make my saliva boil, huh?
Really?
I mean, with the high price of quality blood, only the rich can afford to be poor. Oh, well, the best things in life are free. So if they won't give it up, I guess the only option is to end their life, huh? Really, though, after all, what else in life is as free as death, huh? Which brings us back to Bogart. Much coin makes much care. So let's continue our super scary story, if you dare, huh?
During this brief intermission before Act Three of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, I'd like to introduce the most promising young player, blue-eyed Claudia Barrett. Do you find it all work and no play on the Warner Brothers lot, Claudia?
No, indeed, Mr. Keeley. In fact, watching a Technicolor picture like My Dream Is Yours being made is entertainment in itself. I've been humming the songs ever since.
And fine entertainment it is. You know, Jack Carson is a radio talent huckster, and Doris Day as a singer are delightful.
It's especially good fun when Lee Bowman gives Jack some real competition for Doris's affection.
You know, so many places of local interest are featured. Los Angeles people should feel right at home.
And the clothes in My Dream Is Yours. They're really dreamy. Doris wears some pink crepe pajamas with a matching quilted robe. They're out of this world.
You mean they're not for a workaday world?
No, that's what surprised me. The designer told me that the crepe they were made of is definitely washable. Oh, with Lux Flakes, that is.
I'm glad you added Lux Flakes, Claudia, because wrong washing methods could easily spoil the delicate color.
I know that, Mr. Kennedy. I play safe and stick to Lux Flakes for my nice things.
Good girl. Well, you know, scientific tests prove that slips and nighties washed with Lux Flakes stay color fresh three times as long. These tiny diamonds are really amazing. They burst into suds the instant water touches them. Thick, active suds that leave undies sweet and fresh in no time. Yet they leave colors lovely.
I guess they were gentle because they're so wonderful on my hands.
You can believe your hands, Claudia. Mild Lux Flakes are safe for anything safe in water. They're another fine product of Lever Brothers Company. Thank you for coming tonight, Claudia Barrett. We return you to William Keeley.
The curtain rises on the third act of The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, starring Humphrey Bogart as Dobbs and Walter Houston as Howard.
Yeah, I left Dobbs and Curtin on the trail with all my goods and gone to the village of the Indians. They couldn't do enough for me. Food, drink, for little girls to brush flies off me. Yes, sir, old man Howard is a regular mogul. Real potentate. Then some of their hunters came in from the brush. They were carrying a man. Curtin it was. Curtin. With two bullet holes in him.
Dobbs did it, Howard. Dobbs.
Yeah, made off with our goods, huh?
How could he be such a bad shot? He left me there. He thought I was dead.
Now, take it easy, son. Take it easy. You're talking too much.
Don't worry about me. I'll pull out of this if only to get that guy.
Well, I reckon I can't blame Dobbs too much.
What do you mean?
Well, Dobbs ain't a real killer as killers go. I think he's honest the next fella, almost. Big mistake was leaving you two fellas alone in the wilderness. Mighty big temptation, partner, believe me.
Dobbs shot me down in cold blood. He shot me a second time just to make sure.
A man goes crazy with that much wealth in his reach. Maybe if I'd have been young, been out there with either one of you, I might have been tempted too. Well, Curtin, nothing to do but set out after him.
A couple of days, I'll be okay.
Yeah, but not for chasing down a mountainside.
The Indians, they could loan us horses.
That's why I figure I'd catch Dobbs. He'd go as far and as fast as a man can, but alone, with them burrs and on foot.
I'm going with you.
Give me 10 days, 2 weeks, and I'll come back for you.
I'm going with you.
Look at you. You're weak as a newborn kitten. Don't worry. I'll look after our interests.
I'm still going.
Yeah? Yeah, I reckon you're going. Some of the Indians came with me. Said they had to protect me as he rode north. I tried to figure out what I'd do with I'm Dobbs's boots. I tried to make time. I'd sacrifice anything for time. Sleep, rations, even water.
Otro burrito muerto, señor.
El tercer con la marca de la letra.
Howard, what have they found?
Another dead burro. Dobbs is really driving. That's the third burro he's killed off.
I don't like this wind. Dust blowing like this cover up his trail.
Yeah, it might blow like this for days. Fills a man's lungs with dust. Burns him out like pure poison.
We're not going to stop, are we? Dobbs won't stop.
We'll keep going. He'd be running out of water soon.
We were going to fill up at the high pass.
Yeah. Only he went north. My friends say there's water's mighty scarce in the north. They say something else, too, Curtin.
Yeah?
Yeah. Gold Hat and a couple of his pals escaped the Federales. They're on foot. They passed here just a day before Dobbs.
There he is, amigo, see? At the mud hole. One man and six burros trying to squeeze water out of the mud hole.
Aye, six burros.
Shoes he wears, see? Shoes.
I think the three of us have a little fun, huh? Jewelry too, maybe, huh? Come on, we say hello to our friend.
Water. Water. Oh, I made it. I made it. Town can't be far off now. A road. That's a road over there. Just one more day and...
Oiga, amigo.
What? What do you want?
Señor, we are three poor men in rags. Cigarettes? You have cigarettes, maybe?
No, I haven't. I got a little tobacco, so that'll do.
He's got a little tobacco.
No paper to roll it in?
Paper. Yeah. Yeah, here.
Going into Perla, amigo?
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta show my burros. I gotta get some money.
Matches. Or cigarette.
Yeah, match. Yeah. Here.
Your hand checks, amigo. You sick, maybe?
Sick? No, I ran out of water. I'm all right now. I could use a good burro driver, maybe two or three.
Burro drivers.
I'll pay when we get to town. I'm a hunter. See all those hides?
Hey, did I know you from someplace? Maybe I know you, huh?
No, I don't think so.
You are all alone, a poor, lonely man?
No. I'm not alone. I got a couple of friends coming along. They ought to be here any minute.
Let me look at your face. Jure, I know I've seen you before. Up in the mountains. The guy in the rocks before the Federales chase
us. You're crazy. I never seen you till now.
You don't remember me? Me with the yellow sombrero, the gold hat? I think you're still alive.
No,
sure, I... Sure, you have a lot of hides on the burros, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'm a hunter.
Ought to bring lots of money, huh? All these hides?
Hey, get away from them. Get away from them hides.
We can sell these burros, too.
Hey, watch these. A little cloth bags filled with something. Hey, give me a knife. I think I look in the little bag.
You touch those bags and I'll kill you.
Hey, it's some kind of joke. Nothing in this bag, only sand, dirt. All the little bags got only sand.
Get out of here, clear out before
I... A pistol, huh? For you can't even frighten a sick louse with that. You can only shoot one of us before the other two jump on you. And that one wouldn't mind too much because the Federales are after him anyway.
Stand back there, stay.
Hey, with the rock! I hit him with the rock!
His shoes! I'm gonna get his shoes!
Finish him off. Come on, finish him.
How you feeling, Curtin?
I'm all right.
Town is over the hill there, Perla. We're almost there.
But will Dobbs be there?
Yeah, yes, sir. That's the question, all right.
Shooting.
Yeah. Kind of like a volley. Sound seemed to come from the town.
Miranda, senor. He does los federales.
Si, federales.
Execution, probably. Well, we'll know about it pretty soon now. We guess it all right, Curtin. Execution, three bandits. Storekeeper here says that one of them was Gold Hat. They finally got him.
You saw no escudo, senor.
He says that's not all.
Look, we better keep after Dobbs.
Yo tengo malas noticias, senor. Su compañero.
Bueno, amigo.
Su compañero fue matado a sangre fría por los tres banditos.
He's dead, Curtin. Dobbs is dead.
Dead?
Yeah, those bandits.
But our goods. What does he say about our goods?
¿Dónde están nuestras cosas?
Aquí, aquí, señor. Yo tengo todo aquí, incluyendo los burritos. Están detrás de la tienda.
He says he's got everything. This way, Curtin, the back of the store.
It's not here, Howard. The gold's gone. Everything else is here but the gold.
Keep your shirt on. Señor.
¿Qué pasa, señor?
¿Sabe algo sobre unas costelitas muy pesadas?
No, señor, no. De eso no son nada.
Well?
Says everything the bandits had is right here.
Señor? You asked my father about some Little Thomas bags?
Yeah. Where are they?
Costalitos, ma de qué habla, hijo?
Un momento, papa. I do not know where the bags are, senor. But I heard the bonnets talking in the jail. They said the senor whom they killed had canvas bags resigning them. Many, many bags on the burros.
Well, where are they? Where did they kill the American?
At the water hole by the ruin wall, outside the town.
Can you take us there?
Oh, yes, senor. Right away.
Here's another one, Howard. Empty. The bags are all empty. They're cut open and empty.
Keep looking.
Yeah, they're all... Yeah, they're empty, all right. Another couple of hours in this wind and we wouldn't even find the bags. Swept away and buried under the dust of the earth.
But what happened?
Bandits. Them miserable, stupid, ignorant bandits. Stole Dobbs' shoes, took the shirt off his back and... threw away $105,000 worth of gold because they thought it was sand.
But then it must be here on the ground somewhere.
Here. Here. Here in this wind. Ha! Ha 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 ha! It's a great joke, Curtin, old boy. It's a great joke. Played on us by the Lord or fate or nature, whatever you prefer. But whoever or whatever played it certainly had a sense of humor. The gold is gone, Curtin. Gone back to where we found it.
Gone. It's all gone. Dobbs is dead and the gold is gone.
This joke is worth 10 months of suffering and labor, this joke is.
Look at the Indians. They're laughing, Tony. They don't know what they're laughing at.
That's our own private joke, Curtin, old boy.
Well, Howard, what next, I wonder?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm all fixed. I'll go back with the Indians, be a medicine man. 3 meals a day, 5 if I want them, roof over my head and a drink every now and then to warm me up. I'll be worshipped and fed and treated like a high priest for telling people things they want to hear. Good medicine men are born, not made. Come and see me sometime, my boy. You'll take your head off when you see how respected I am. Yeah, I'm all fixed up for the rest of my natural life. How about yourself? What are you aiming to do?
I haven't got any idea.
You're young yet. Got plenty of time to make 3 or 4 fortunes for yourself.
You know, I'm really no worse off than I was back in Tampico. I'm out a couple of $100 when you come right down to it. Not very much compared to what Dobbsy lost.
Any special place you're bent on going?
No. All places are the same to me.
Tell you what, you keep my share of what the burrs and the hides will bring, and if you use the money to buy a ticket to Dallas, see Cody's widow. Better in writing. Tell her what happened.
Okay, Pop. I'll go to Dallas.
Hey, you son. Come here.
Yes, senor?
Tell your father to give this man all the hides and burrs. They're all his now. I'm going off with the Indians.
Yes, senor. I will tell him.
Well, I guess I'll round up my heathen brethren and we'll be on our way. Bye, Curtin.
Bye, Howard.
Good luck.
Same to you.
scary, kids. Wasn't that scary? I'll say. Now I know why they called him Humphrey Bogart, huh? Oh, really? But he sure got his cut in the end. Right across the neck, huh? Yes. You know, when he was shot, I laughed so hard my side nearly split. But not as much as his did, huh? Oh, boy. Let me tell you, like I've heard of happy trails, but that was happy entrails, huh? Now I think I know what they meant when they said Humphrey Bogart had guts, huh? Oh, but seriously, you don't see actors like that anymore. Because they're all dead, huh? Oh, yes. You know, that explains why the reruns always play on the, how do you say, late show? And what about the other two? They got held up with those Indians. There must have been some problem with the reservations, huh? Well, you know what they say, I guess. Better red than dead, huh? I mean, let's face it, it's hard to be a blood brother when your blood's all gone, huh? Oh, yes. I mean, you'd be worse than just a pale face. You'd be a pale body, too, huh? You know, come to think of it, the Indians were about the only characters that weren't injured in this story. Perhaps it's just ingenuity, huh? No wonder they say, no how, huh? Oh, really? Now, I'm not trying to squaw and say they're not brave. It's just a feather in their cap, that's all. Well, I've got to fly. So until next week, same bat time, same bat station. This is the Count saying, I'll see you on Boot Hill, huh?
No.